This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Billions and billions of dollars, more than $12 billion, in $100 U.S. bills were flown in cargo planes from the United States to Baghdad soon after the U.S. invasion. These bundles of money were distributed in bags without any accountability, probably mainly as bribes to Iraqi collaborators. The U.S. officials involved in disbursing the funds have responded to criticisms of the lack of accountability and transparency by saying it wasn't American money. It was money that belonged to the Iraqis from the sale of their oil, held in escrow during the sanctions regime. So what does it matter how it was spent? The same attitude of disdain and contempt for Iraqis characterizes the apparent lack of any accurate record about the number of Iraqi people killed in this war. What does it matter? They're only Iraqis. But it matters to Dr. Les Roberts. He's an associate professor at Columbia University Miriam School of Public Health. He has worked diligently to try and determine accurate numbers, and we've reached Les Roberts at his home this morning. Good morning, Les.
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, did the U.S. occupying army make any effort at the beginning to establish a system for accurately recording Iraqi deaths?
Certainly not that we know of. In fact, the first person who was appointed Minister of Health after the invasion is a former military surgeon with public health training. His name is Frederick Burkle. And when he arrived in Baghdad, he said his highest priority was to establish both disease and death surveillance, and that he was prevented from doing that by his superiors. So what little evidence there is would suggest they actually worked hard to prevent this information from being available.
Now, the Iraqi government does issue figures. And, for example, it said that since 2003, the death toll is 40,000 to 50,000 people. So we're looking at about 10,000 people per year. What do you make of that number?
I find that offensively preposterous. And I'm really a little bit shocked that so many newspapers would just pick that up and run with it simply because it comes from official channels. That means that the city of Atlanta and Baltimore and New Orleans have been roughly as violent as Iraq over the last 4 years. That means that the violent death rate is higher in Russia than it is in Iraq, and I just don't find that plausible.
That I understand that when you look at natural deaths annually in Iraq, we're looking at, between 120 and 140,000, I think you said.
That's right. Somewhere in that ballpark. It probably varies a little bit from year to year, but among 28 million people, that's about what we would expect people dying of old age and children born with birth defects and all those other things that go wrong, even in the most healthy of societies.
So we're looking at only increasing that by 10% as a result of a war and an occupation.
If the Ministry of Health statistics from Baghdad are correct, that would be a 10% rise over the baseline. But as you hinted in your introduction, we have now twice done surveys in which we've gone door to door in a sample of households and asked people, how many members of your household have died since the beginning of 2002, and at late 2004, we thought the estimate was about 100,000. We repeated it last summer, and as of last July, the number was about 650,000 that we estimated had died. And of course, this is a sample, so there's a little imprecision about that. It could conceivably even be as low as 400,000, but the idea that it's only 40,000 is simply preposterous. And at least our survey results are consistent with all the evidence coming out of Iraq. The evidence that, probably the death rate has doubled over the last few years, as our survey would indicate, and that almost all of that increase is from violence. Imagine, we get Baghdad morgue data all the time, and we know that before the invasion, there were 200 bodies a month brought into the Baghdad morgue. and now it's well over 1,000 per month. I mean, a five-fold increase in the Baghdad morgue isn't consistent with what the Ministry of Health is telling us.
How are those numbers being come up with in Iraq? Do they talk about their methods?
No, they don't. And they actually don't release the raw data. They used to release it to the United Nations, and, for example, the United Nations pointed out that the system doesn't seem to be complete since, according to the United Nations, the Iraqi government recorded zero violent deaths in Anbar province last July, in spite of the fact that there was actually a lot of fighting going on, and I believe four American soldiers died there and a couple dozen were seriously wounded. And the idea that no Iraqis died there was simply absurd. And after that happened, and after our study came out, the Iraqi government announced that they're not going to be releasing the raw data to the United Nations anymore.
When other countries calculate violent assaults, how do they do it? Do they use the similar methodology that you used in your study of going door-to-door?
I think there's two ways. The most common way for the industrialized, stable countries is like Canada does. They have a death registration process, and everybody has to be both identified as indeed dead, and then some coroner attributes a cause to it, and violent death is a category that is recorded. And then the Canadian government every year tallies them up. Same in the United States. In about 50 countries of the world, the least functional countries, there's no vital registration process for most of the countryside. So in Angola and Mozambique and Congo and lots of other places, the United Nations every couple years goes and tries to do a survey about infant mortality, but they usually don't do anything about adult mortality. So for a big chunk of countries, maybe even 20% of countries in the world, we have no data at all about murder rates. And it's only when someone comes along and does a survey, as has happened recently in Darfur, has happened when I worked for the International Rescue Committee. We did it three times in the eastern Congo. And so sometimes non-governmental organizations do surveys and then come to a conclusion about the number of violent deaths. But that's sort of hit and miss for those countries that don't have a registration process going.
Now, we're overwhelmed by media reports and images of Iraqis killing Iraqis. Does the Pentagon release any data on the deaths caused by U.S. soldiers?
No, they don't. We know that when a bomb is targeted, there is an assessment done about how many civilians are expected to die. And if the number is more than 20, well, then the president or the secretary of defense has to sign off on it before an attack can be commenced where the expected collateral damage exceeds 20. But for all of those bombs dropped where they expect to kill less than 20 people accidentally, we suspect they must keep a tally. But not only do we not see them, but I gave a briefing at the request of two congressmen last December, and the staffers of one of the congressmen told me that the congresspeople can't even get data from the Pentagon on how many collateral deaths have been induced by our bombings. And, you know, supposedly by the end of 2004, we had dropped 50,000 bombs in Iraq. So it doesn't take very many errant targeting events to have the tally start becoming quite significant.
Now, you mentioned when we started talking that the military sergeant had been dissuaded from releasing data. Do we have any evidence that within Iraq there is pressure on people to actively suppress the number of deaths?
The answer is there's weak evidence. There was a minister of health through 2004 who was very, very highly regarded by the international medical community. He had come from the United Nations, and when he was done there, he went back to the United Nations. And he stated that they weren't getting information from most of the country and that the system was very incomplete. And he stated that in August of 2004. In September of 2004, his ministry released data showing that of the deaths they had recorded, which were only some fraction, about twice as many were caused by the coalition as caused by Iraqi insurgents, and he was shortly thereafter sacked. So that would, and no such breakdowns, not any, not one coalition-attributed death has been reported by the Iraqi Minister of Health since that time, if I'm not mistaken. So that would suggest that there has been some effort to control the message. And interestingly, in that month after our study came out, which was last October, our study saying 650,000 deaths have occurred, a lot of people were saying, well, how can your number be so high and the tallies from the morgues be so low? And three Iraqis, and all who didn't know each other, said to me that large numbers of deaths, even going into the Baghdad morgue, are being hidden, and that there's gross underreporting being released to the press and to the United Nations just from the Baghdad morgue itself. So, no, there's not strong evidence, but I think there's weak evidence that within Iraq, the government is trying to keep the message under control. And the Minister of Health said some very vague but threatening things the day after our study came out about punishing those who had taken part in our study of Iraqi civilian deaths. So that wasn't so subtle.
What are the consequences, do you think, when the number of Iraqis being killed is so distorted, so underestimated?
I think that there's a couple of consequences. If you recall, just a couple of months ago, there was a conference in Iran that was characterized as a conference to deny the Holocaust. And a lot of folks were very upset by this. For us in the UK, in the United States, to be constantly downplaying the number of deaths by a factor of 10 can only inflame sentiments in the Middle East where people know far better. People in the Middle East know that it's not just a 10% rise over baseline associated with this conflict. Secondly, you know, just in terms of running an occupation and succeeding in your venture, how can we right now be having a surge where we send 20% more, 20,000 more troops in order to secure the population if we can't even define the level of security of the population to within a factor of 10? How can we know whether we're going to succeed or not? It's conceivable these soldiers could go, it could become far more secure, but they'll start counting every death when before they are missing most, and it will actually look like it's gotten worse when it's gotten better. So that's of some importance as well. And finally, in my mind, most importantly, all of us have had other people take some action based on assumptions that in the end did us harm. And when that happens, we expect contrition out of the people that did us harm. And for the American spokespeople, the Iraqi governmental spokespeople, to constantly be downplaying and essentially denying deaths for tens of thousands of households, I think is quite the opposite of the tone of contrition that we so desperately need to be striking right now if we're going to be able to heal from this mistaken invasion and have a hopefully peaceful Middle East within the next two decades.
Thanks very much for taking time out of your busy schedule, Les, and talking to us.
Mine.
I've been speaking with Dr. Les Roberts. He's Associate Professor at Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health, and his latest article on this topic was published in the British newspaper The Independent.